News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, yesterday, Cabinet agreed that children aged between 12 and 15 are to be offered a COVID-19 vaccine. It's understood that this age group will be offered the vaccine from next month, but parental consent will be needed. And joining me now to discuss this and all other aspects of the vaccine rollout is Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. First of all, Minister, let's talk about that news about 12 to 15-year-olds. Tell us what's going to happen. When will they be able to register and when are they likely to get vaccinated?
I will, Ciara. Can I just start, if I may, by adding my congratulations to the women's rowing team, to Afric, Emer, Fiona and Emily. Their country is immensely proud of them.
Yes,
what
indeed.
An incredible race. And I just wanted to say well done to them. So there's about 269,000 children in Ireland who are aged 12 to 15. NIAC have looked really closely and they've said that in their view, the benefits for the children of being vaccinated far outweigh the risks. And it'll come as really good news for a lot of parents who are looking to have their children vaccinated. And also there'll be a lot of other parents now who will want to ask questions. They'll want to look at the evidence. They'll want to listen to the experts. And what this does is it gives choice, because ultimately what this is about is giving parents the choice and making sure that we provide the information they need to make those choices to do the best by their children, which of course is what they'll do.
Now, we did have Dr. Mary Favier from NPHET on at the start of the show, and she said, much like yourself, this is a great move and we're all delighted and it's very welcome. However, I'll ask you what I also asked her is, we have seen very low vaccine hesitancy here in Ireland, thankfully, and that's a good thing. But I think parents may view giving the vaccine to their children a little differently to how they might view taking the vaccine themselves, because of that extra caution, that extra protectiveness that we all feel about our children. What do you say to people who say that COVID-19 is not of particular risk to children? They don't really die of it. They rarely become seriously ill. Why should I vaccinate my child?
Well, the first thing I would say is they are perfectly reasonable questions for any parent to ask. And we need to listen very carefully and be really respectful of parents who are asking these questions. So what NIAC have said is that there are several advantages to vaccinating 12 to 15-year-olds. They point out that whilst, thank God, the incidence of severe illness for children of this age is very rare, it's not zero. So there are children who can become really quite sick. Another thing that has been pointed out to me is long COVID. Because COVID is so new, obviously, we're still learning about long COVID. But there are real concerns in Ireland, in the UK and around the world about less severe but longer term impacts that COVID can have on younger people. And another reason, of course, NIAC give is that it protects the people around them. So when the chief medical officer was writing to me on this, he pointed out that he felt and NIAC felt it would be particularly important to vaccinate children with underlying conditions because they are at higher risk, and indeed children who are living with or regularly meet up with friends or family who have underlying conditions as well. So it's about protecting the children and protecting the communities those children live in.
So will we see that happen, Minister? We won't see children between the age of 12 and 15 all vaccinated at once. Will we see children with medical vulnerability or children who live with somebody maybe with medical vulnerability vaccinated first?
Well, my priority for some time now has been children with underlying conditions. It's something I've spoken on with the HSC and with the department at length. What we're working through with the HSC at the moment is what's the quickest way to do that. The conversations I've had with the HSC and the task force so far suggest that the vaccination centres will be used, so parents will be able to go online, go to the portal, register their children and then bring their children to the vaccine centres. We're having conversations with the GPs now, but it is likely that for children with underlying conditions where the parents may want to go meet with the GP, talk to the GP and have their own GP administer the vaccine, that's something that can be done as well. The question for me and the HSC right now is, what's the quickest way to do this? Is it to set up different tracks for those with underlying conditions, or simply open it up to everybody at the same time, which may be quicker because obviously it's operationally simpler to do.
OK, we're hearing that there's going to be walk-in vaccination clinics open from this weekend, Minister. Who can attend those?
Anybody can attend these. I think these are really useful. So as you said, we've got one of the strongest supports for vaccines and the highest take up of vaccines.
So anyone over the age of 16 can attend them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the bank holiday weekend, the 31st of July to the 2nd of August. It's mRNA vaccine, so Pfizer or Moderna, anyone over the age of 16, and you can just walk in. Now, if you've already registered online and you've got a date for a vaccine center, that doesn't matter. You can turn up to one of these walk-in centers, just bring your photo ID. And if you haven't already registered online, we can register you at the vaccine center. You need to bring your PPSN, mobile phone number, email and photo ID.
Okay, so a very straightforward process for people who might not be registered elsewhere or might be wanting to be vaccinated a little bit sooner. We're hearing there's also going to be pop-up vaccination centres planned potentially for sporting events, parks, beaches, music venues, things like that to try and bring in more young people. Are we likely to see that anytime soon?
Yeah, we are. We're likely to see that in the coming weeks. And it's just another innovation. The feedback we're getting is that a very large majority of younger people have said that they are definitely going to get vaccinated. So all we want to do is we want to make it as easy as possible for them to do that. I was in several vaccine centres yesterday. I was in Punchestown. I was in Portlaoise. And it was just fantastic and encouraging to see so many young people there registering, getting their vaccine and then moving on. And there was a real sense of positivity. And can I just say thanks to all of our incredible teams in those centres and around the country who've been doing such an amazing job.
It looks to me like we're moving from a period where people were clamouring for vaccines and waiting for vaccines to now we're actively pushing vaccines and actually trying to sort of hoover up the last of the unvaccinated. Is that the case?
I think that's probably pretty true. Yeah. So we've now got 70% of the eligible population fully vaccinated, which is incredible. We've nearly 85% of the eligible population at least one dose. We've got this wonderful news on the 12 to 15 year olds, wonderful news on the booster program now, which we'll do in the autumn.
I'm glad you mentioned
boosters. With flu vaccines.
That's for healthcare workers, vulnerable people, people over 80, people in nursing homes. When are we likely to see that rolled out?
NIAC are suggesting that we do it at the same time as the flu vaccine program. So that would typically start around the last week in September.
Okay.
And what we're working through with the HSC now is we'll have the biggest vaccine activity in any winter in the history of the state. So we'll have the flu vaccine program, COVID booster vaccines, and then the normal background, you know, school vaccination programs. And we're looking at the best way to do that at the moment.
A couple of other things. Obviously, we're starting to see cases fall now in the UK, which I suppose is very welcome news as well, and particularly because they haven't introduced more restrictions in order to see those case numbers fall, actually reduced restrictions. Can you now, with the modelling that we have, with the cases here fairly sort of flatline and with the in fairness, the vaccine rollout ramped up to, I suppose, levels that we never really thought we would see, do we have a Freedom Day in mind? Do we have the English version of that, you know, coming down the line for us in Ireland where you will now say no restrictions from this day going forward?
I think we'll probably do it differently. We have taken a different approach to this than the UK has. You know, they have done some of these bigger events like this so-called Freedom Day. The approach we've taken in Ireland is a cautious approach. It's a steady approach, and it's a phased opening up. And I think that has stood us well. If you compare what's happened in the different jurisdictions, but I think critically, Ciara, we are seeing the cases now fall in the UK. We're also seeing them fall in the Netherlands, in Spain, and in some other European countries that shot up.
The Delta wave appears to be peaking. So
well,
but no exit date in mind for us.
Where it's No, not yet. It's simply too early to tell. Okay. We're watching the figures like a hawk. As you'll be aware, we've had about 7 days now where it's been flat.
Yeah.
What we don't know yet is the curve going to start bending down again, stay flat or bend up?
Okay. Last question for you. A lot of talk about Catherine Zappone being appointed without competition as a special envoy to the UN for freedom of expression. When did you find out that was happening, Minister?
at cabinet yesterday. It was the first item on the agenda. So I know there's been a lot of chat about this, Ciara, but just a few quick points, if I may. So first of all, envoys tend to be appointed. It's not like a normal job. And then secondly, can I just say, Catherine Zappone is a phenomenal advocate. I consider her a friend, and I've worked with her professionally, and her track record really speaks for itself. And I think she will do an awful lot of good.
So for those who say it's jobs for the girls, you would reject that?
I would totally reject that, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. Indeed, that is Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly.